Blog Talk Radio.
Should be able to hear me here momentarily. All right. We are back live on the blackmail.net radio. We'll go ahead and open up the phone lines now. Caller from 910, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hi, Timia. Stephanie.
Hello, Stephanie. Welcome back to the Black Channel. Now, what state are you in?
North Carolina.
Okay, well, don't worry. An anti-affirmative action ban will be coming near you soon enough. And what's on your mind, sister?
Definitely want to talk about the whole education thing that's going on. Not sure if you guys realize it, but you know, it's the whole Common Core thing coming on. And I did see on Facebook earlier that the state of North Carolina is trying to, I guess, adjust what's going on with it. But I don't know. It's going to be a lot of changes taking place. And earlier I was actually thinking about, you know, as far as education and our Black children and how they do a lot of times get pushed to the side, and we do have to monitor. And as I think you said before, that parents definitely need to become more involved in it, in their children's education. And I was kind of thinking, like, if, you know, once we as Blacks come together and build up our communities, then homeschool should definitely be an option because, you know, a lot of times kids are just test scores, basically. It's no actual learning taking place. And, you know,
well, the real issue, though, is that how does this affect you for the future? That's the real thing, because this has ramifications far beyond just school. I mean, a decision like that has ramifications that reach well beyond school, well beyond it. What about that part of it?
You talking about as far as the Common Core, or?
Well, no, I'm talking about as far as, like, the Supreme Court decision and its effect on everything else.
Oh, well, I think it just goes back to what you were saying, because when you mentioned the whole public school and them getting rid of affirmative action, you know, as far as, because I'm from a smaller county, so when, like, DPI, which is Department of Public Instruction here, they will come out on a whim and be like, well, we're going to do, you know, this, and it's going to start next month. And so since I'm from the smaller county, it makes it easier to adjust to what they want, whereas the largest counties like Wake and Charlotte-Mick, they don't have the ability to change directions as quickly as my school does or my school system does. So, I mean, as far as the children, you know, we have to start somewhere. And I know that, you know, like I said, in the public school, it's kind of like they just are test scores, and it's kind of like they get bypassed. And so that's where my whole idea of the homeschool thing come in, and the fact that, you know, teaching the children not just what, you know, the public school want, but what we want them to know, because a lot of that is lost.
Okay, now just so everybody will be aware, that chime that you all keep hearing, that's actually tech support with Blog Talk. I decided to just get them on while I'm doing a broadcast so we can see about getting that they call it putting your hand up and putting your hand down when you want to speak to the host. When you press 1, you're supposed to put your hand up, basically, is what they call it, so that you can speak to me. And then it's supposed to take you out of the queue and then and whatnot. So if you wonder what that chime is you're hearing, that's just them. Now, the real thing, though, is that you as a young person here, do you realize that they have actually just – this is going to reach into your job. This is going to reach into far-reaching areas, because if the government can't do it, you can't do it. That's the real problem. If the government can't do it, you can't.
If the government can't do what?
If the government cannot insist on it, You can't insist that businesses do it, churches do it, anybody. You can't insist on it.
Well, and that's the thing that you were saying. I mean, we definitely need to look towards the future and, you know, your whole, you know, blacks need to start owning businesses so we can get our youth acclimated to that. That is definitely, I mean, that's, it's basically like pigeonholing us, kind of putting us where we're going to have to do that in order to survive. Hello?
Yes, we're right here.
Oh, I didn't know if it hung up.
Yeah, I forgot we're talking to Stephanie, so.
I forgot we're talking.
I forgot we're talking to Stephanie. She's in sound bites. And for black people like yourself, because you're 30, you say you're 30. I think you said you were 30 or 31.
30.
Okay. All right. What it is that being 30, what that will mean for you is that think about how that's going to affect the rest of your life as far as your children before they're even born. Now you can tell them that what I'm saying is that first what they do is they open up minor things to go after you on, or at least what seem minor. As black people, you want the system slanted as much in your favor as possible. You don't want it to be slanted against you. You want it as much in your favor as possible. But that isn't what occurs. What occurs is that people generally end up demanding other things. Right now, this is not about what's fair or what's appealing or pleasing to everybody else. This is about what's fair and what's us. That's what it's supposed to be about.
Yes.
And we don't understand that's the way power is supposed to work. That's the way power is supposed to work. Power is not supposed to be looking for what's best for everybody else. Power is supposed to be looking for what's best for you. And we have become people who are afraid of exercising that because I guess we're afraid of offending others. But with a decision like this from the Supreme Court, who's looking out for not offending us is the question.
So where do you suggest we go from here?
Where do we go from here? Straight to hell if we don't change our ways, as the old saying goes. Straight to hell if we don't change our ways. And that's precisely the problem. And we have been playing this game where we keep looking for how to make other people more comfortable with us. We just keep looking for a way to make other people more comfortable with us. And that's not going to work. That does not work in the long term for survival, where you're looking out for everybody else's interests before you look out for your own.
Do you know what percentage of the voters in Michigan actually voted were black whenever that thing came up, or not so much?
I don't know what the percentages were. I do know that there wasn't enough to stop a damn state amendment from being added to the Constitution.
Agreed.
And that's my real point, is that as black people, we haven't had enough courage. Let's just call it what it is. We have not had enough courage where we have said to ourselves, you know what? Here's what's in our best interests. We have just outright refused to do that. We have instead tried to say, well, what will make us popular with other people, because constantly trying to decide for ourselves if we have the ability to make other people comfortable with us. Instead of us just saying,
I would have to ask the question, do we know what's best for us? Because, like, when you look at the education system, they don't teach you to think for yourself. So,
well, but your parents will take care of that.
Well, a lot of parents don't take care of that. A lot of parents think that it's up to the school or whoever to take care of that. And working in the school a lot, I mean, it's like you are the parent, because a lot of times the parent don't want to stand up and say that, no, you can't do that. It's a lot of times they call the school and then, you know, we be like, no. Or, you know, it's some kind of way where it works out where the parent doesn't have to actually confront their child and tell their child no. So, I mean, a lot of parents don't try to raise their kids.
Well, we got better things to do. We got better things to do.
So they think.
We got better things to do than raise our kids. We have better things to do, and this is the result. This is the result. The result of you allowing your children to be raised by bastard baby makers, raised by idiots, raised by clowns. Nobody is insisting on excellence. Nobody insists on it. Nobody cares. They wanted to laugh at all of us. You're the nerds, you're the geeks and whatnot. Well, guess what? The Supreme Court's on their ass. And that's occurred.
Yeah, but do they really care?
That's a good question.
I think one time you posted before, I think it was maybe a couple of weeks ago, about the education system and how, you know, the effects that the bastard baby makers and the single mothers actually have on the children. And it made me think about when I was interning at an inner city school, and I was under the counselor, and we had the conversation because it was like a pregnant teacher, and she was saying, you know, back when she was growing up, that you didn't see a teacher pregnant and was not married. And also, maybe a couple of weeks after that or whatnot, she was an older teacher. And she would, it was this one specific boy, and she would always say, you're going to make someone an excellent husband one day. You're going to make someone an excellent husband one day. And, she was older and whatnot. And whenever you posted that, it made me think, like, do the kids who have the teachers who, you know, were pregnant out of wedlock, they don't get that. And it's becoming more common for, you know, our black children not to have a teacher that has come from a stable household, or, you know, because a lot of the values and things actually comes from, you know, some of those values that the teachers have just rubs off on the students.
Well, we were so worried for so long, oh, I don't want to have a gay teacher in the classroom. But you got this chick who's pregnant with her third kid, no husband. Now, that you weren't so concerned about. Oh, that's a sign of the times. Why? Because your mama was probably a bastard baby maker, too. That's just a sign of the times. But for everything else, you weren't so concerned. Everything else you're up in arms about, but this, you weren't so concerned. That's where the problem comes in for us. We've tried to be relative. We have tried to sit up here and cherry pick what we'll be excellent about and what we won't. Basketball, yay. Principles and ethics, not so much. Well, hello? The Supreme Court saw your weakness. The Supreme Court has seen our weakness. Please tell me, what are black people going to do in response to this? What are we going to do to respond to this affront? What is it?
Just post about it on Facebook, probably.
Post about it on Facebook. We can march. We can demonstrate. We can hold a rally. You can get Agent Al, Reverend Al, to sit up here and talk about it on his television show. Yeah, there's a lot we can do, isn't there? The only thing that we are not going to attempt to do is to acquire power, wealth, and influence. That's the one thing we won't do. And the bad guys know it. The bad guys know it. I'll let you have the last word.
Thing I can say is Black First, Jay.
Black First, sister, thank you very much for joining us here tonight. See if I can take another phone call here. Caller from 301, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Just listening, put me in queue by mistake.
Okay, that's all right. That's actually about to get fixed here in a moment, which is very, very good for us, by the way, so I don't have to worry about that anymore, and I can do little things like harass my audience, because that is what we like to do here. All right, we'll go ahead and put you back over here. Caller from 414, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hey, TBA, this is Willie from Milwaukee.
What's on your mind, brother?
Well, I was listening to your broadcast, and I heard about what happened in Michigan, and it's moving to Wisconsin, like, tomorrow. Scott Walker just signed a bill that, you already know down here that if you have a felony, you usually can go to the board and get it expunged. He got rid of the board. He said, let me do one better. He said, well, now, if you have any kind of misdemeanor or any type of felony, you can't even sell real estate. And he said, well, I'm going to go deeper on that. Okay, because, in Milwaukee, we used to have two black stations. We had 1290 and we had 860. 1290 bit the dust. They stopped playing Elvis to let us know that there was no longer a black station. So we was left with 860. So coming home from school today, I was listening to 860, and a young sister was calling, talking about, she was in the foster care system. And that was like maybe 10 years ago, maybe 20. And she was going to MATC to be a nurse, and she's trying to do her clinicals. Okay, the state said, well, if you had any felony, but
okay,
if
brother,
it was
let me ask you, because your volume is a little low. So let me ask you to get a little bit closer to your phone, because I want everybody to hear what you're saying here, because I think this is important.
Can you hear me now? This is better?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, she called into the show, and she's like, well, I'm going to school to be a nurse. And then she told the host of the show that MATC told her that, well, the state said, well, yeah, it's true that, if there's a certain time limit on your felony, you can go do your clinicals. But we have a separate board that will decide if you're eligible to do your clinics. And that separate board told her that she was uneligible because of something that happened in her past when she was young. And I'm on my way home, because I'm going to school out at Gateway Technical College out in Kenosha for auto mechanic. And when I'm in that class, I notice that they're aggressively, pulling in high school kids. And the high school kids I see, they're either white or Latino. I only seen one sister. And we was taking a class together. I helped her get a B where I got a C in that class. That's how real the game was. She was working on my car. She came to the final hours. She was like, this teacher's not really teaching me anything. I don't know what's going on. I was like, you can work on my car. Just don't blow up my AC system. We go from there. I was so focused on pushing her through. I was like, I'm older. I'm on my way out. You coming in. So I probably should focus on you, because you're the tip of the spear. I'm the butt. And that's what happened. But then I remember, as I'm going through these classes, and I see the instructors, you know, talking about, you know, brushing in, you know, bringing these high school students, and I think about Milwaukee, I don't see that. Even when I tried my hand at being a paramedic, I was not good. I wanted to try. Even in that class, there was a high school student. And she's like, well, I'm trying to pass this class, but, you know, I said that I graduated from high school. And I looked at her, I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, what kind of program y'all running, you running up here? And they told me. And it's like, yo, we try to recruit kids from high school to get them up into college and push them out. So before they even graduate high school, they already have a two-year diploma, associate's. And then that, you know, community college may have an agreement with a four-year degree college to bring them in to accept their credits. So by the time they already got to be a bachelor and working on their master's. And I was like, well, from Milwaukee, where it's mostly black, I haven't even heard of that. And I'm like, this is madness. I felt like that guy from 360 from Sparta when that guy came through the city talking about Babylon wanted to take over the city. I wanted to kick somebody into the pit. And I was like, are you serious? And to bring it home, when your broadcast was on, my mother was here. The first thing she said to me, she said, who is this man talking on the radio? And I explained to her who you were. And my brother had ran over his, you know, 150 credits for his associate degree. So he won't get no more aid far as that. But if he pays for out of his pocket and want to go get a bachelor and master, he will get aid. But as far as now, he will get nothing for an associate. And I told her, I was like, well, I'm about to graduate. And she's like, yeah. I said, well, my brother, something. I said, well, what are we going to do about him? And she turned to me and said, I'm not worried about your brother. I was like, wow. You're not worried about him? I said, okay, if you're not worried about him, and I told you I'm about to graduate, you really don't care about me. You're trying to get online and buy something for your iPad, a leather case. You can barely work my computer. That's on my, I plugged into my 68-inch screen TV. And I was like, you got your priorities twisted. And I said to myself, like, you know what? It's like what my professor and sociology told me. They said, if you're around a bunch of people, even though you may feel close to them, and they may be blood related, but you don't feel a connection, there's a problem. And I sat there right then and there, and I looked at it. I was like, you know what? You was a subpar mother. You weren't the best. You thought what you did was the best, and it was not the best. You failed. I got one person that's about to get swept by the undertow, and you're not worried. And being in the Midwest, we are getting choked out. They're cutting out the bus routes. You know, I was a courier for FedEx, and I went out to Germantown, upper part of Menominee Falls. And when I went through the neighborhoods, I saw one liquor store. It was either the Pick and Save or the gas station. There was one church, not per block, maybe every five blocks. For the whole sector that I was responsible for, I maybe saw maybe two churches. Even in the Hispanic community, two churches. I come back into Wisconsin. Every block I go, there's a church. It's a barbershop. Liquor store. And I turn around and I say, and I look at my brothers and sisters out here, they're like the walking dead. They don't have a clue. They go vote. They do that. They look at their aldermen, which are aldermen, the community council in Wisconsin, they've been put on part-time. So they look towards them, and I'm like, okay, you're doing something at the same time, expecting something different. That's madness, but they do it. And then we got Sandy we got, well, I believe her name is Sandy Patch, puts a run against Scott Walker. She's not going to win. He's going to win this year, and he's going to dig in even deeper. And this is a guy who doesn't even have a degree. He didn't even finish college. And he go up on the go on TV and said, well, I pass this bill, so I'll send you taxes on your property bill and whatnot. It adds up to maybe like $30 per person. And I'm like, if you don't own any property, it doesn't matter to you. If you're renting, how's that helping you? I mean, you go on one side of town, black people live here. You go on the other side of town, Korean, Hmong. Another side of town, white. Even when you drive through the city, the city signs, the street signs will change. Go down Wisconsin, it's green. You start to get to the white part of town where it's wealthy, it turns blue. Then you know you're in an affluent part of the neighborhood. I lived on Wells and Highland. Never got a letter about what business was moving into my community. I moved close to Wauwatosa. Taco Bell wants to extend their hour. I got a letter in the mail talking about you want to come to the community meeting talking about, do you want to talk about them extending their hours as far as overnight. First letter I ever got is when I moved close to Wauwatosa. And I said to myself, not to me to cuss, excuse my language. I was like, ain't that a bitch? And I see around here, I see my brothers and sisters, like, well, even the one black station we do have, it's like, well, we can get with the Latino brothers and Asian brothers, and I'm like, no. That shit is not happening. After I saw that what happened in Washington State when they wanted to overturn, civil rights, not civil rights, but affirmative action, I was like, that's a done deal for me. That's the only time we going to get together when we start dying.
If anybody is wondering why I've been so quiet over here, it's because, number one, I think what you're saying is important. But number two, I've been going back to go check on some of the things that you were talking about there, because I think it is important to make sure we have accurate information on those things. Scott Walker has, as of April 16, Fox 6 in Milwaukee, signed 55 bills into law. Wednesday, April 16th, 55 bills into law. Who in the hell needs to pass 55 bills? Among other things that I see on this rather lengthy list, it does mention on here that it does bar them from being able to, I mean, because this is like buried in the damn list that they have here. It's really buried in here. But it does say that it will prevent the state's board for realtors to be able to give a real estate license to a convicted felon. Prevents the real estate examining board from issuing a real estate salesperson or broker license to a convicted felon, offers REEB the ability to revoke an individual's real estate license if they are convicted of a felony after the effective date of the bill. An applicant may apply for a license 3 years after the completion of their sentence. This is basically what that's saying there. Doesn't say anything about misdemeanors, though. So if you have any information on that, I'd like to see that. I will tell you one thing on here that I did notice. Assembly Bill 441, which is now the law in Wisconsin, expands the offenses that are reported to the Sex Offender Registry, expands the information available to the public, and certain information available to police and sheriffs about sex offenders. I noticed that. There's a bunch of exemptions in here that I noticed as well. Exempts individuals employed as outside salespersons from the state minimum wage. Eliminates first-year commissions. Exempts classified research at the University of Wisconsin system institutions from open records requirements. Relieves four small utilities that voluntarily had a portfolio comparatively strong in renewables. The rich got a lot out of this. Allows local governments to prosecute second and subsequent offenses of marijuana possession in some cases if the district attorney declines. So it will allow local governments to prosecute even if the district attorney declines. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? More laws to lock you up with. Allow small businesses to correct minor rule violations without facing stiff penalties from state government. Requires agencies to consider written warnings or reduced fines when the business shows a valiant effort to comply with the rule. So, makes life easier for businesses. He's definitely all about that. Exempts some solid waste residuals from tipping fees at recycling facilities. Tipping fees. For those of you who don't know what tipping fee is, that's dumping, basically.
And the reason I brought that up was because I did...
Wait a minute now. Eliminates drunkenness as a defense for individuals who commit crimes. Eliminates voluntary intoxication as a defense for individuals who commit a crime. There's one in particular I'm looking for here. Extends the time counties can seek reimbursement for housing costs from prisoners from 1 year to 2 years. Doubles the amount of time that they can go after housing costs. I wonder how long you have in Wisconsin to file a civil action against the state. I wonder what the limit on that is time-wise. Wonder if they give you 2 years for that. I wonder. I'm just wondering there if they actually give you that ability. Allows law enforcement to perform strip searches of individuals who are arrested, taken into custody, if they will be imprisoned in a jail or lockup facility with one or more other people. Juveniles may only be strip searched if they are taken into custody for a felony or certain battery or weapon-related misdemeanor. All law enforcement agencies and facilities where strip searches may be conducted may establish written policies concerning strip searches and provide annual training. There's one in particular in here I'm looking for. Protects the environment. Yeah, right. Exempts solid waste. Oh, yeah, we did that before. Allows small businesses. Yeah, helps nursing homes. I doubt it. Improves food safety and streamlines the certification process for food handlers in Wisconsin. Isn't that an oxymoron? You're improving food safety by streamlining certification of food handlers. Isn't that amazing? But that's not the one I'm looking for. There's one in particular. Give me just a moment here, because there's one in particular that I had seen on this list, and that was one that caught my attention. Eliminates, creates uniform, limits civil liability. That's right, you can't sue unless you're a certain type of person. It'll come back to me here when I see it.
What is it referring to?
It was actually referring to increasing law enforcement, actually.
Well, all I know is that what I see on the news that they doubling that. What I've seen personally is, like, you go to certain parts of, like, heavily, you know, black communities, they have mobile units. And the mobile units usually show up on a Friday and Saturday.
Well, they're doing less for people on the job, doing much less for them. and doing much more for people who have a business. He believes in giving a lot to businesses, let me tell you, a whole lot, and increasing their police powers. Now, isn't that amazing? And who are they going to be doing this with the most?
Well, when you look at their business power, look at Waukesha. Waukesha has more jobs than Milwaukee. Milwaukee is the biggest city of Wisconsin. If you want to be a mayor or governor, you got to go through Milwaukee first before you can do anything. And what we had here, I don't remember her name. I guess she was a white woman. She ran in a black district for alderman, or alderperson, I'm sorry, be politically correct, and she won. She was a Democrat. And I know that any black person that tried to run for Democrat or Republican in a white neighborhood never won. Won the seat. She won. And
I'm wondering if black people in Milwaukee are actually understanding. Well, of course, I know the answer already, but they don't actually understand just how high this thing is being stacked against them now. They don't actually understand that, and there isn't anything on this list of 55 bills. Okay, this is what I was looking for, Assembly Bill 707. I remember it was authored by Representative Jesse Rodriguez, Republican from Franklin, and Senator Mary Lattich, Republican of New Berlin. So the women and Hispanics are after you. Provide better protections for victims of abuse by extending the length a restraining order can last from 4 years to 10 years. Extends orders protecting children in child abuse cases can last from 2 years to 5 years or until the child turns 18. So now in Wisconsin, it's the law. A restraining order can now last up to 10 years. So if you were 19 when your girlfriend lied on you and got a restraining order put on you, that thing now follow black men around for 10 years. And, of course, understand something. That is who it will be put on. The judges will give the white guys 90 days. The black men will be given 10 years. That's what's going to happen to black men. While we sit there and play on our iPhones, while we pretend that everything else is important except having something simple. So forgive me if I had to wait that long to find it, but I thought that was important right there, that now a restraining order in Wisconsin, they're doing nothing for your jobs, by the way, nothing. But they will make sure that you can have a restraining order taken out on you that can last a decade. A decade.
Yeah. Because the way we vote up here is very special. Because if you look at the state as a whole, the majority of the black people are in Milwaukee. You'll find like salt and pepper shakes all over the state. That's true. But in Milwaukee, we are the most densest. And people don't leave outside their block. Most people don't even read the paper. Most people, they get on to, like I said, we only got one black radio station. And I listen to it. Some of the stuff he say, I'm down with. Some of the stuff, I'm like, you talking garbage. When he's talking about we need to get with somebody else, do this and this, and I was like, you messing up the program. Because I had a conversation with my guy, Dan. He's a Marine. I'm Army. And he's married to a black woman. And we got on a subject about equality. He said, I don't believe that, things are, I believe everybody's the same. And I was like, damn, I said, let me put to you like this. I'm like, let's say together, offer me you to complete this task. We need $30. I said, give me a denomination of $30. Break it down. He gave me 25, 5, 20, 10. I said, let's take the 20 and 10. You got $20. I have 10. I come together with you. And together we have this $30. And I said, who has the more power, who has more say in this group? He said, the one with the most money. I said, exactly. And when I said that, he got quieter on the phone. We still cool. But he don't come at me like he used to. And I was like, and I proved to him, I was like, yeah, you got $20, I got $10. You got more money than me. You can always go to anybody else who got $10. Me, on the other hand, I got to beg and please go get somebody that got $20 to make this $30.
We as black people have been focusing on everything that is not actually power and influence related. We've been focusing on religion. We've been focusing on education. We've been focusing on politics. Brothers and sisters, Scott Walker is still governor of Wisconsin because he had very rich friends from very rich places who came in to make sure that that didn't change when they held the recall of him. That's what happened. We as black people have not really wanted to accept that reality because that reality would mean that we have to face up to the facts that the whoring and the slutting and the tattooing and the cooning and the buffooning and the bull jiving is not working. The Supreme Court just put the smack down on our collective asses. It doesn't matter whether you agree with affirmative action. It does not matter whether or not you disagree with it. This Supreme Court is the single most hostile Supreme Court toward black people since Roger B. Taney. Now, for those of you who do not know who Roger B. Taney is, you need to go look him up, by the way. This Supreme Court has the distinction of signing off on everything that has been against black people and upholding nothing that was for us, and nobody wants to hear that. It is not as entertaining. People don't actually want to hear the truth about this. And that's why this broadcast has never been as popular as it possibly could have been around the world, because if I came to people and just used this voice of mine to talk about superfluous things, to talk about funny things, that they would like, that they would think was so damn cute. They would think that was marvelous. But when I say, hold on, wait a minute, we're adults here, we should be talking about something more adult. Why is it that we are not talking about what's going on here and how this could affect us on a national level? That black folk don't want to discuss that then. The phone lines dry up when I say it's time to discuss some adult things. Now, if I wanted to talk about Mimi and her video for the last 5 days, that would resonate with black people more, this childlike intellect, this childish mentality, where everything has to be given on a childlike, infantile level. Adult conversation, right over the heads. Not interested. First, they tell you that we don't like niggers. That's what they tell you first. First they tell you that. Then they tell you, my friends don't like niggers. That's what they tell you next. Then they get their newspaper and television outlets, or they create their own Fox News to go off and say, we don't like niggers. This is a white country. a white male power structure. Isn't that what Bill O'Reilly said? Yes, it is. That was what Bill O'Reilly said to John McCain, white Christian male power structure. Somebody should have told Jesse Lee Peterson that when he was talking to Umar Johnson, by the way. Hey, dummy, Obama's not running it. Bill O'Reilly just admitted to you that it's a white Christian male power structure. Even lackeys should be able to figure that out. But in any case, they get their media outlets to say, we don't like niggers. After the media is able to say it, then your politicians are able to come in and say it. Rand Paul. Remember when Rand Paul said that the Civil Rights Act was unnecessary and unconstitutional? Do you remember when he said that on Rachel Maddow? No, you all don't remember that because, you see, that doesn't involve twerking. That doesn't involve cooning and buffooning. So that's why you don't remember it. Anything else you would have remembered, you don't remember this part, though. And now he is a United States senator. Went over your head, too. You don't remember that. But you got a problem with black empowerment. Rand Paul becomes a United States senator, openly speaking against the Civil Rights Act. And then what happens just a few years later? What happens just a few years later? The Supreme Court of the United States guts the Voting Rights Act. Rips it wide open. And tears out the insides of it. First, he speaks against it. The politicians speak against it. And then they don't have to pass a law against it. They hand it its execution. And by execution, I mean putting it to death. They hand the death sentence off to the Supreme Court. The politicians don't have to trust it. If it's too hot for the Supreme Court to deal with, they hand it to Congress. If it's too hot for Congress to deal with, they hand it to the Supreme Court. If it's too hot for Congress or the Supreme Court, president. That's right. See, you didn't remember any of that because you haven't actually been listening to black people who put the pieces together for you. That's not what you were doing. What you were doing instead was you were saying to yourself, well, I don't really see how this fits. I'm not really connecting the dots. That's not what I'm really doing. I don't really see how this goes together. And somebody has to come along later and put it together for you. But guess what? By the time it... Do you understand, brother, they can pass three more laws damning us in the amount of time that it takes me to explain to black folk and put the pieces together and to connect the dots for black folks? You know, they can pass two or three more laws damning us in the amount of time that it took me to explain all that. So we went from the Supreme Court gutting the Voting Rights Act to the Supreme Court coming back around swinging the axe again, and this time now they've swung it on affirmative action. They are ripping your face, head, body, neck, and spirit wide open, and nobody wants to acknowledge that that's what's happening. When have you seen the Supreme Court this act to take rights away from homosexuals? When have you seen the Supreme Court this active to take rights away from illegal aliens? When have you seen the Supreme Court this active to take rights away from corporations? But the Supreme Court is on a damn killing spree where black people are concerned. The Supreme Court is on a killing spree. And black people could care less. It doesn't bother us. Black people could care less. Because, you see, a few dead black children, a few black children killed by white supremacy. That's just the cost of you do me. I mean, you do you, me do me, not you do me. That's just a bit of a lying play on words we give ourselves there. You do you, me do me. That's what we live by, black people. Somebody tell me how that's working out so far. I just sat here and ran down the whole timeline of all the dots coming into place and connected. I just gave you all the parallels to Nazi Germany, and black folk are still not going to get it. And what I mean by get it is you get up off your ass. I know that you got it when you realize. If I tell you that your house is on fire and you're inside of it, you don't get it if you're still sitting on your phone. You just don't get it. Not till your house is on fire and you're inside, you're supposed to get the hell up and run for your life. That's what you're supposed to do. Black people are scared. Black people are afraid. Black people are frightened and childish, and this is what we've got. This is what we've got to show for it. I'll let you have the last word, brother.
Well, all I have to say is this. I met when I was 19, and I was part of Milwaukee Community Service Corps, and we was renovating Milwaukee Hillside and Latin Park. The construction site was full of white people. The only black people I saw there was us and a painting group that was in the building. I came in there one day. The brother told me he had to let a brother go. I said, why? He said, because of affirmative action. I said, but you're all black. I turned around and I saw a white woman come up from the basement. While she was coming up from the basement, she had just got done taking a piss over there by a sewer drain. Yes. So I saw that and I just chuckled to myself. I said, this is madness. Now, I want everybody to think about Scott Walker. And when you think about Scott Walker, I want you to keep his name in mind and think about Ronald Reagan and how he started. If you don't have a passport, if you don't even have the gumption to be self-sufficient and start waiting on some magic man to come from the sky, you might as well get in the corner and tell somebody to get a shoe and beat you over the head with it. I'm out. Black first.
Black first, brother. Thank you very much for joining us. Those who do not learn the lessons of history are doomed to repeat it. Santiago said it, and it's just as true today as when Santiago said it before. The telephone lines are open, of course, here at the Black Channel. The number is 646-787-1933. 646-787-1933 is your access code. For those of you who are new here, I understand that this is something new for you. You're not quite accustomed to the idea that black people can sit in a place and discuss an intelligent, mature topic like this. You're not accustomed to the idea that we can dissect and disassemble things that you thought were incomprehensible and show you all of the ramifications, fearless and frightening. Very, very rare that you can find a group of black people who can do that. I am proud to say that I steward the ship does that. But understand something. This is not an entertainment broadcast. I'm not interested in entertaining anybody. I could get a lot more attention a lot easier if I were to say what was entertaining. I refuse. I've refused for half a decade. We have walked ourselves right off into damnation, demanding that people entertain us every step of the way. And do you know what they gave you for that? An iPhone and an Android phone and the ability to stream your movies on your phones and your tablets and your wristwatches. Keep you distracted. Keep you entertained. Keep you arguing over nonsense. That's what they did. That's what they were able to accomplish. while you've been fighting and arguing over detritus, as I said 5 years ago, the machine has already been constructed. The machine has already been constructed. It's already in place. It is already in place. It is already rolling. It's already rolling. Now, you don't have to believe it. And you don't have to accept it. They are not asking opinions anymore. They're just swinging the baseball bat and cracking your skull open now. They're not concerned, and they're just doing it one by one. I mean, over the course of, what, 6 months? Hell, has it really been that long, as a matter of fact, though? So of a few months, we went from gutting. Yeah, because it was at the beginning of this year. So over the course of the last 4 months, in 4 months, with your so-called black president, they have gutted the Civil Rights Act and now decapitated affirmative action in 4 months. Do you all realize that it hasn't even been a year since George Zimmerman? Am I the only person who doesn't realize that it hasn't even been a year since George Zimmerman? But you don't want to hear that. You want to be entertained. Got it. Go ahead and keep sitting there and demanding to be entertained. You go right ahead. Understand something. These people are not playing games and they do not wish to be entertained. They're not the least bit interested in being entertained. No, they're not. Caller from 646, you're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, caller from 646 is playing on the phone here. But then again, you know how we do things, so if it's not playtime, we don't quite understand it. People shouldn't have to beat your head open to get you to understand that they're not with you and they're not for you. People shouldn't have to do that, but we have to do that as black people. If I were to sit here and tell everybody and pass around some stupid ratchet photos, that gets people's attention. I talk about intelligent black thought, and that doesn't interest very many people, not even people listening on the line. Most of the people listening right now, most of you would like it if I moved on to something more entertaining. The fires are burning, people. The fires are burning already. The fires are already burning. You shouldn't need anybody to explain this to you at this point. Your parents were cowards. And what I'm saying is, do you really want to inherit what your parents did? Your parents lived their lives scared of white supremacy. And what I'm telling you all right now is it is back, white supremacy. Actually, it never went anywhere, but it is on the march. White supremacy is back with a vengeance. And black folk are laughing when I say that. Black people are actually laughing when I say those words. That strikes black people as funny, that there's some kind of joke to it, that we're all going to sit here and just snicker and giggle our way through this. What I'm telling you all is that at some point a police brutality case is going to come before the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court's rule, just the way you've seen on these last few cases. They're going to rule just the same way. But black people don't want to hear that. Black people want to hear that we can ha-ha and hee-hee. And that's why this kind of thing does not interest black people as a group. Black people as a group could care less. Black people as a group could give a damn about what the Supreme Court is doing. Black people as a group say, eh, that's just them folk out there. And then when you watch as your children and your grandchildren cannot do the things that you are able to do, that's why I say the kids should say, damn ya. Black people are completely and totally unconscionable and abhorrent because we believe in leveraging the future on the backs of our children. We believe in paying for our meals today, leveraged on breaking the backs of our children. That's what we do. Caller from 334, you're on live with Black Channel.
Hey, Mr. Black, how you doing? This is Bill Green from Alabama, the guy that was on Tracy and Friends at the time.
What's your mind,
man? I'm doing pretty good. I was listening to the other show you had a while ago, and there was a guy that called up. I do IT. And it really ran my blood pressure up because I listened to you while I'm at work programming and stuff. And this guy was up there arguing with you as to how he couldn't get it, how his friend couldn't get a job in IT. When I went, I was doing all these other businesses and real estate, and I went and jumped in IT, took a SQL Server course. Yeah, I have a business administration information systems degree, but you can't get a job with a basic degree. You have to have some sort of way of getting in. So I went, took this course, and I have not gone 30 days without a job in the last 4 years. I get calls all day, every day, $40, $50 an hour as a database administrator or database developer. And when I hear people make excuses, it really bothers me. He was like, my friend worked at the college, couldn't get a job. And one of the things I'm learning, as people, we have to study and make ourselves better people. So that's why I listen to your show, to be a better person. So sometimes, I'm sorry, broadcast. Sometimes I feel like when we go on these interviews, you have to have personality. You have to know how to make people like you, even though they may hate your guts. You have to know how to wow the room. These are skills that we have to develop as people. You can't just get a degree. And it's not 1990 and we're not in the dot-com era anymore. You have to have skills to be able to talk to people and wow people and win people over. And when I sat there, he argued you down as to why his friend couldn't get a job. I can tell you right now, there are guys I took the course with that couldn't get a job for a year. I took the course 2 weeks after we finished, I had a job. And I was like one of the worst students in the class. But I'm looking at this. I'm going to say this too. I don't look at this job. That's why you're one of my favorite people to listen to, because I don't look at this job and say I've arrived. I don't think I'm a success. I think I've accomplished some things by getting in this field, but I still, and as you put it, I'm still just a cog in someone else's wheel. And I feel like I want to get back to where I was and even be greater and do real estate and get back out there and own and control and get some power, wealth, and influence and not just be part of it. But this is just a piece of the puzzle that I needed, because I couldn't do this. I ain't going to say I couldn't, but it'll be harder making $8 an hour.
Well, first of all, he didn't actually argue me down. He just he argued himself until he hung up the phone. But my thing is, if I didn't know anything about computers, it would be different, but I do. If I didn't know anything about computer programming, it would be different, but I do. So in a case like that, when I meet somebody who says that, like I say, you're either a fool or a liar or both. But more than that, this is what we as black people and black men gravitate to. This is what we do.
Excuse.
As black people, we will always make up an excuse. We always do that. Always. And so when he got done, I mean, the real thing is that he has a degree in sociology. That was what he had.
You know what, Jason? I got a friend of mine. She graduated with the same exact degree. She works as a counselor. Been out of school about 10 years, she got out, they paid her like maybe 35. She's making about 39. It's been 10 years. 39, that's all she makes. Talks, she complains about how she's struggling. She got two kids. She's married, but now she's talking about she's going to quit the job. That's a whole nother can of worms. But, yeah, sociology, psychology, like you say, math and science. I myself, I'm going to be honest with you, Mr. Black, I took up to calculus in college. I was not a good student. I hate to say I was determined to make it seem like I'm some Superman, but I just was not going to take no for an answer when it came to getting in the IT. I had people telling me, man, you have no experience. The economy's down. There's no way you're going to be able to get out there and make, and if you do, you're going to have to take a job for $25,000. They're not going to just pay you, you know, my first job was $30 hourly. And so, I'm saying this, I'm calling the show and saying this because there's a lot of people listening, and I want people to know out there that IT is a good way. When you say get into math and science, that's exactly right. I'm a witness. And I'm not the, man, you know what? I've kind of, my thing is I don't have to be the most, I guess I don't have to be the sharpest, most intelligent guy. I have to be the most clever in that I use this. I know when I go to work every day, I'm building something. I'm not coming in here thinking 20 years down the line. I'm coming in here thinking six-month intervals. I'm trying to get this to this, and then I'm going to take this step, and I'm going to take this step, and that's what I'm going to do. You know, and I guess I got something else I want to run by you, an idea, so to speak, something I'm about to pull the trigger on, and I wanted to get your insight.
Okay.
Well, I used to be a real estate investor full-time. I used to buy and flip houses, right? The market went down back in 08, and, I noticed that, I didn't like the rent game because I felt like, you know, Pete Renner getting in the rent business, you have to deal with a lot of crazy renters, right? So what I noticed is in a lot of these urban areas, especially in the South, people are starting to get into this loft thing, and the loft rents are astronomical. I mean, people are paying $1,500, $2,000, which is astronomical for the South, and I'm sure if you're in Shreveport, you're familiar with that. What I'm thinking, what I noticed, and I hadn't seen too many people do this, I used to be a licensed contractor, so what I'd like to do is build from the ground up. Build lofts from the ground up. They only have to be about 800 square feet. I know for a fact you can build for about $60 a foot, which you're only looking at $48,000 to $50,000 plus the lot price, which down here you can get land pretty cheap near downtown areas, not as expensive as you would think. You know, some people you can get it like maybe, I don't know, maybe $100,000 or less. But the rents are going to be pretty high. And I just wanted you to, I guess, kick the tires and I guess give me your insight as to what you thought of that.
I think it's a great idea, but if you don't have a few million dollars, it's not going to work. Building a regular apartment building is one thing, but if you are trying to go more upscale, I wouldn't, even for just 10 buildings, if I didn't have $3 or $4 million, there's no way I'd go into that. Now, you live in Alabama. I don't know how close to the coast you are, though.
Well, I'm not that close. I'm in Montgomery, which is...
That's fine. So. I mean, but what I'm saying is that people don't realize that, you know, the border between Alabama and Florida is just, you know, a man-made artificial thing. You can buy houses on the coast of Alabama for a fraction of what it'll cost the coast of Florida, for example, even though there may be a distance of only a few dozen miles between the two. And that's a big thing that's been going on for a while. But my thing about saying that is that, you know, I just wanted to have some idea about how what the ceiling would be on those. If you're in the north, it's going to be a bit different. Not as much demand up there, of course. You're not near the coast. But, yeah, I mean, we've got prices like that. Hell, we got prices here for stuff that's $2,000 a month. I can show you some stuff right here in Shreveport that is $2,000 a month. So if you've got, I mean, it's all going to come up to your backing and whatnot and how much money you have to spend. But in all honesty, I wouldn't even think about it.
I went to the bank.
Get that without millions of dollars. Without a few million, I don't see how that's. If you've got it, it's a good idea, but I still would not consider going in unless, since you are new to that kind of thing, I would really advise you to at least make sure you are partnered with a real estate company that does that kind of stuff already. You're really flying in blind.
Well, what I was saying, what I did was I went to the bank and I met with the loan officer or the guy that's over the commercial lending department, asked him what he was looking for, asked him what he likes to see in the package. He was saying he'll do duplexes. He said he can see this in duplex, quadruplex, triplex. So I can start small and still make it, like, because I've seen properties like that where it's lofts on the inside, it's open floor plan, brick walls on the inside. They got a special way they do it. But it's not, and he was telling me this as well. He's saying he knows people in certain cities that have done this through his bank where they go in and they start small. But you can now have enough money to kind of seed money to do like the percentages that you want down and then go in and do it that way. But, yeah, 10 buildings, not yet. But I'm going to get there. So.
Well, I mean, what were you planning on starting with?
Well, I was thinking maybe a quadruplex. If it's going to be about 250, worst case, to build somewhere, and then maybe let's just say 300. Then he only wants like 4.25. So I think the payments came out per 100,000 was like $500 a month. So for $1,500 a month, I could probably build a quadruplex. Which, and you know, the rent.
A similar type of structure where you're trying to build already in place now, where people are already selling?
There are people paying that kind of money. There's a demand for the lofts in this area. There aren't many, and there are plans to build some, but people are paying $2,500 for those. Some of them are 1,000. There's this one girl I knew. She had like a 600 square foot box. She paid $900 for it. And I mean, but he liked the idea. He thought it was creative, you know. But
but because you're going to innovate, for me, I'd want to know a little bit more about that. But like I say, it would just be a situation where I would want to, in a case like that, since you're new to this, I would just want to make sure that I had some support and was building in an area that already had that kind of construction going on. That would be the only thing I would really caveat you on. That would be it. Other than that, I think it's a great idea if you have the money for it or if you can get the backing for it. But other than that, no. But if you can get it, I don't see why you shouldn't. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, he liked it, and I told him near downtown, that's where the comps and stuff, if the appraiser was to come out, he would look at those rents. And that it's like maybe I would be maybe 2-3 blocks away from the loss that they're charging, you know, $2,000 for. And I'm right there. I know one lot in particular I have in mind. And it's not for sale, but I know the owner, and he'll let it go. But I probably can get it for maybe $35. So – I mean, I'm excited about it, and I'm just looking at it. And, you know, I may have to crawl before I walk and just probably go. There's another quadruplex already up that a guy wants to sell that's fully rented. So that may be, I may have to crawl before I walk and just use the equity from that as part of the down payment and just do start something bigger if I'm going to do it instead of trying to do something small. So if I buy that quadruplex, I was thinking maybe I could have some equity because he only wants like $100,000 for it. The one that's already built, and I could take that, and that's a lot of equity. So,
well, just remember, whenever you're going into something like that, you'll always be learning. If you can use somebody else's money instead, that's always the best way to go, especially if you're learning at something. But other than that, I don't think that's a bad idea at all. I think it's a good idea. The real estate market is coming back. The economy is coming back. So why not jump in while the land is still cheap and people are still hesitant? Why not? If you're able to. Once again, like I say, do proceed with all deliberate speed, but I don't see why not.
Okay. If you could just leave me on, I just want to listen.
Well, thank you very much for joining us here. I'll go ahead and put you back on hold here. And, of course, like I say, this is open for everybody else as well. We've been discussing a number of things here tonight, and it'll be your opportunity to speak on these things as well. I want everybody to have a chance to be able to discuss this with us, because this is a very, very important thing. It's not very often when you can get black people to sit down and discuss ideas and events in a competent, coherent, adult manner. It's not very often we get to do that. But I try to provide that type of forum here because this is what black people need to see and need to have. It's not very often that somebody calls you and says, hey, I want to speak about this in this way. It's good that we got brothers talking about building things, because as it stands now, understand something. Everybody is sitting up here. I mean, they're closing the doors behind them. They're pulling up the ladders below them. They are locking gates after they come in. They are doing everything that involves keeping us out. They're doing everything that involves keeping us out. And for people who don't understand that, it's going to be a horrible situation. Because right now, it's not just squatting up the haves and have-nots. It's squatting up the living and the dead. That's what's happening now. Right now, we're squatting up between the quick and the dead. No, I'm not overstating it. As a matter of fact, I'm one of the few people who's actually stating it like it is. I am not overstating it. I'm not overblowing it. As a matter of fact, I'm being really quite tame and calm about exactly how bad the situation is. I'm actually being rather calm about it. I'm actually being rather measured and tempered. If you knew how bad this situation really was right now and how much danger we're really in, you'd have a whole different attitude about it. But most black people do not. Can we just be honest? Most of our people are simply waiting for their turn to die. Most of our people get up in the morning, mark time, and are just waiting for their time to die. And that's why these things don't really bother that much. When it's their time to go, it's, oh well, it's just my time. It's just my time. I want to try to get another couple of phone calls here. Caller from 615, are you playing on my phone lines? You've been going in and out.
No, this is Chris calling from Nashville, Black First Brother.
I was about to say, he's usually a pretty dependable fellow about these kind of
things. No, I literally just dialed the number and it came up, so.
I wasn't
on hold or anything like that. I just dialed in, so.
Yeah, Blog Talk has been fixing on things here tonight, so this is just really kind of special here. I'm so glad I can get some help at this hour now, if I can just get things working right. And what's on your mind, brother?
There's a whole lot on my mind, and, you know, I don't think black people realize the severity of the situation, because I see them on your Facebook all the time arguing about wanting to have their tattoos and whatnot. That seems to be the most important thing. That's the only thing that gets their energy up to talk about. They don't seem to be concerned about what they're going to leave for their children. I guess leaving their dead body with a whole bunch of tattoos on it and scribbles on it is the most important thing for them to be doing.
That's their legacy. I mean, understand something, Kristen. You understand this as, I mean, you've been self-employed since you got out of college.
Right.
Brother, don't you know that organisms that are set and fit to survive recognize an organism that's not fit to survive when the moment they cast eyes on you?
Yes, indeed.
And that's what these people don't understand, is what they are looking for is, in their minds, they are looking for white people to carve them out a niche, to carve them out just a little bit of space so that they can subsist. That's what they're looking for. right, somebody to carve out a little niche that they can sit up and hobble in, and they will gladly live with the crumbs that you flick from the table, so long as the crumbs roll and pluck off into their little mouse hole. They'll be perfectly happy with it, as long as you do that.
Right. They're perfectly content, and I've talked about this with Wayne recently, about there are people that just want to be in. They want to be that black friend in the group, and that's good enough for them. And that's one of the reasons, like, I was talking to him about, just saying how, you know, we both had to kind of ostracize ourselves from some of these other groups on Facebook. Because, you know, people make all these claims about being a black nerd or intelligent and black, but we see the same coonery and buffoonery that you would see on World Star Hip Hop on a lot of these pages. So it's...
Well, you know, the interesting thing is, because you and I both know the groups you're referring to. And
right. If
those guys were hanging out with white dudes, their attitude and how they're acting would be totally different, by the way.
Right. No, I agree. Because I've actually worked in corporate America, so I know what it's like to actually be around guys like that, from not just white guys, but guys from South America as well. And they talk and think on a whole different level. They're not just trying to be the butt boy forever. You know, those guys are always working. Even if they start off at a smaller position, they're always working towards trying to get their own thing later on. You know, as a matter of fact, one of the guys that I work for, we were both working at a bigger company, and he had already had his own thing going on the side. So when that company shut down, he was able to offer me a job. And no, this was not a black guy, by the way. So just thinking on that level, I was able to learn a lot just from working with him. I learned a lot about computers, because at that time I didn't know really know anything about Macs, but I learned a lot just working with him. So
now, George Perez worked even after being diagnosed with cancer. Michael Turner worked
all up until he died.
Two or three bouts of cancer.
Right.
If you all don't know anything about comic book artists, just give it up. You don't know who we're talking about. But two legends. George Perez, a legend since the 70s, and Michael Turner, a legend from the 90s. Michael Turner worked until he died.
Right, literally.
As you know, he was working on that issue of Fathom until he died.
Right.
Two or three bouts of cancer, I believe he went, because he had it, and then went in remission, and then it came back. That is their legacy. Black men do not have a legacy.
And I've talked to George Perez, because I've met him at a few conventions. He gets paid every time one of the Teen Titans or any of the other characters that he created for Teen Titans appears in any DC stuff. He actually gets paid for it. He's one of the first artists that actually negotiated that type of deal. So when those Teen Titan cartoons come on Cartoon Network, he gets paid off for that. When Deathstroke appears on the Arrow series, he gets paid for that. Even just mentioning those characters, he gets a cut of that money. And he's one of those that started that initiative to get other people artists paid.
But why did that happen?
He was smart enough to think.
The reason that these guys get their residuals today is because Neil Adams jumped up back in the 70s.
Right.
Disputing this idea of work for hire and that everything that they make just belongs to comic book companies. Why did he do that? He did that on behalf of Siegel and Schuster, the creators
right.
of Superman. And the comic book companies, Stan Lee, by the way, I really should say Stan, and his uncle, Martin Goodman, I really should say them. I'm going to be polite and I won't say them. But I really should say Stan, Mr. True Believer himself. I bet you they're only thinking that their only real mistake was that they didn't hire a bunch of black guys. Because
yeah, why didn't we let them in when we should have? Because they would have just gave us all their stuff.
Oh, if they had hired a bunch of black men, they would still own 100% of everything, including the music business.
Right.
I mean, it was only Rodgers and Hammerstein that showed black folk the way. If it weren't for that, black folk would be letting the music industry rape them to this day. We would be letting everybody do everything. Hell, as a matter of fact, we still do.
Yes,
I shouldn't say that we let them. Hell, we still let them do it today. As a matter of fact, can we just be honest?
Yes, we do. That's a sad situation, the way, like, people get treated in the music industry. But that's the way you're going to get treated when you go in there acting like a, because I was listening to your program that you did with Melissa. When you go in there with that mentality of you've never seen a big check before, so when someone throws it in front of you, you don't know what to, you're like a deer in the headlights. You don't know what to do. You just take it. And, you know, that's when you get people like Nicki Minaj, who I do think actually is a somewhat intelligent person. She just sold her people out. Now she's out there saying that she's not a rapper anymore. And I was like, well, she got paid for her hit, her assassination. She's already destroyed the minds of black women and black children, so she got her paycheck.
Yeah, I mean, remember what I told you all. I mean, people got upset with me when I did my video about Nicki Minaj. But
right.
Do you remember in the video, I made a point of it. I made a point of it to say to people, by the way, Nicki Minaj never intended to be a rapper.
Right, yeah,
I remember
that.
At never intention, she made it very clear by going to that school that her goal was to be an actress.
Right.
Her goal was not to be a rapper. And now everybody wants to act all stupid about it today. I'm like, folks, did you not watch anything that she did? And the answer is no.
Right.
The answer is absolutely no. She was put out there. They hydrogelled her rump. They plastic Barbie dolled up her breast. And off she's been running ever since. And Negroes have just been sitting there. Hey, whatever these folks tell them, they believe it. They question nothing. Whatever they say, they believe it.
Well, I like your quote when you said that to hide anything from black people, all you got to do is put it in a sentence, because they don't even, like I said, they don't even check their facts anymore. They just post stuff online without checking where it's coming from. So I was like, you don't even need COINTELPRO nowadays. You can just go and post whatever you want, and black people will just spread it around like it's the gospel truth.
Without reading, without checking, without anything. You all watched it happen for 2 months before I made Lie Machine. People
right.
just responding, pecking like chickens, checking absolutely nothing, posting up photos of me.
Right, right.
They were doing everything under the sun. Negroes cannot be bothered to think. And then they want respect. No wonder. I mean, I'm going to say something right now that's going to be super controversial. Kind of makes you wonder why the Supreme Court... Does it really make you wonder why the Supreme Court didn't have any qualms about doing what they did?
Right.
Because what the Supreme Court is saying is that, you know, these people have not demonstrated that they have the competency or the right to vote. They have not demonstrated that they have the competency to enter our bastions of higher education. They haven't demonstrated that they have the intellectual capacity or the competence to come to these places. Why are we reserving seats at the table for people who are not producing?
And that's the thing. And see, what the idiots will do is they'll bring up little things. I guess they'll bring up a celebrity that's successful and think that that's an improvement for the entire race. They'll come up, because I've had an argument with someone this week bringing up Jay-Z and Beyonce. I'm like, really? That's your criteria for black people succeeding? I even think that buffoon on that show with Umar Johnson was talking the same thing, talking about Barack Obama and everything like that, saying that that's a success for black people. So, you know, it scares me sometimes, but I think a lot of people don't get it. But at the end of the day, I know that there are people out there that have some sense, and I just have to continue and go on and work with them and not have to worry about what's going on with some of these idiots out here.
Well, we are watching what you knew when you left school and when you went to college. We are watching it all shape up now. That is becoming a situation where economic Darwinism is about to set in. Well, not about to set in. It's setting in. It's already started. The gentrification of Brooklyn, Harlem, and the Bronx. The gentrification of Detroit, the gentrification of Washington, D.C., I've seen it with my own eyes. The gentrification of New Orleans, all it took was one hurricane and flood in the city, and literally washed the Negroes out.
It's happening in Memphis, too. I just took a trip there last month, and I saw it happening there as well. So people, black people think they have these places sold up. They think they have these bastions of a refuge where they can just hang out and walk around with their pants sagging. But I think other groups see that, and they just go squeak right in there to pick up the bones that black people leave around. So
when they see you, you can lie to yourself. What it is that we are a people of such low expectations and low standards that stupid stuff is acceptable in our eyes. That we've lowered the bar so much that stuff that is downright dumb and retarded, black people sit up here and act like there's something high-minded about it. Because
right.
That's how low our intellectual bar has fallen. So when other people see you with your tattoos, they see you're weak.
And
when other people see you with your tramp stamps, they see you're weak.
Right.
When other people see that 80% of your females are overweight and 50% of your men are, they see you're weak.
Right.
When they can see 50% of your childbearing year females are bastard baby-making baby mammies, they see you're weak. When they see that your unemployment rate is at 50% or greater, they see you are weak. And as I've told you all since day one, power does not respect weakness. Power only respects power. And when they see that you are weak, they only want to know three things about you. Do you have something that I can suck out of you and exploit you for? Do you have something I can whore out of you? Because that you'll be able to do one of two things. They can exploit you or whore you. And
right.
Lord help you if they resort to that second one. Because a whore only has interest for a short amount of time. Eventually, you discard your whores. You always do, in favor of a new one. I've ridden this whore all over the place. Let's get a new one.
Right. Well, when they saw that they could kill our children and all we're going to do is go out and buy some Skittles and iced tea, I mean, that to me, that was just a clear sign that black people are not ready. That to me, those were tests. What happened with Trayvon and Jordan Davis and the other young man, I believe his name was Darius, they got shot by the old white man while he was taking out the trash. That was a test, and black people failed the test, especially black males, in my opinion. But no one wants to hear me talk about that because otherwise I start sounding too radical. So I've had to be talked down several times about those subjects. So
intelligence is radical in black people's minds today. Intelligence is radical thinking. Any type of thinking is radical. Any thought that did not originate from a television screen that was given to you by other people, that is what constitutes, quote, revolutionary radical thought today. Having a thought is radical thought today. And that's why we're not welcome. You know, we should be able to explain these Supreme Court decisions better than anybody.
Right.
These decisions affect us more than anyone. And yet most black people, all they know is that, well, they struck down affirmative action. They don't see the story behind the story. I have to sit here and explain to you. I mean, brother, you saw it with your own eyes. Can you imagine the Supreme Court making the exact same ruling against gay marriage?
Oh, hell no. Hell no. That wouldn't even be brought up to a court case. If it did, it would go into gay people's favor. But they know how to make their influence known and make their presence known. We don't. We know how to make our presence known for when the new Jordan sneakers come out. Or we know how to make our presence known for when someone's new sex tape comes out. But that's about it. And even that, that's only fleeting. That only lasts for a couple of weeks, and then we're on to the next thing. So for something as serious as a Supreme Court ruling, no, we're not even paying attention to stuff like that. We don't pay attention to what goes on in our local politics. We don't know who runs our school board. We don't know who the sheriff is. We don't know who's sitting on the council. We don't know that we can actually go out there and run for some of these jobs. Every time I go vote, I see some of the same people all the time running unchallenged.
What we have in black society is a political class. We have a few Negroes who figured out how to run in politics, and that's all they do. But we don't expect anything of them. We don't demand anything of them. That's the difference. We don't actually expect or demand anything of them. And consequently, don't give us anything.
Right. Well, I mean,
they come circling back to the neighborhood every 4 years. Vote for me, vote for me, vote for me. We don't actually hold them to a standard of anything.
Well, I mean, our whole religious belief is based on, you know, God got me up this morning. So if that's good enough for God, then, you know, the politicians can't be expected to do much more, TBA. If we're able to get out of bed in the morning, that's all we need. We're doing good then. So
the bar has fallen so low that other people are saying, wait a minute, are you people serious that that's the best you can do? Well, in that case, it sounds like you don't need to be here.
Right.
Brother, I said it years ago. You heard me when I said it then. The prophecy is now coming to pass. We are officially being voted off the island. They're saying that the state, they're using the states now to do it, that the states don't have to protect us. The federal government is lifting its hand of protection. We don't have to protect you. Where is Eric Holder to fight these things? Where is he? Has anybody seen Eric Holder? Anybody?
Nowhere to be found.
I heard he was supposed to be working on something about George Zimmerman. Remember when you said that? Anybody seen
yeah,
George?
I remember when you said
anybody
it.
Anybody seen Eric Holder?
I
must be
when said
hard
it,
at work in there.
Right. He said that way back when, and, you know, like I said, George has been making appearances at gun shows, so he's signing autographs and kissing babies and whatnot, so obviously nothing's happened to him.
When Michael Jackson was acquitted for molesting a white child, the state of California changed its laws to say that they could compel a minor. You
right.
all need to understand this. They changed the law after Michael Jackson's first acquittal to say that we can compel a minor to testify even if they don't want to take the stand. That was right after that. They changed that law specifically because of Michael Jackson. I shouldn't say changed it. They made that law specifically after him.
Right. Well, they always change laws for us when they want to put us in and lock us up. They did the same for the Black Panther Party when the Black Panther Party walked through a state building with their rifles. Then that wasn't allowed anymore. But you see people, these Tea Partiers and militia groups walking around with their guns on state property all the time. They even did it when Obama was elected. So
now, they changed the law because of Michael Jackson. George Zimmerman murders a 17-year-old kid. He's been arrested twice for beating up his wife and his girlfriend. Nobody in Florida, with all the time that Governor Scott has on his hands down there to make all kinds of laws and whatnot, nobody anywhere is trying to make a law that says that you can compel these women to testify even if they don't want to.
Right.
Did anybody notice? Did anybody miss that? I mean, did anybody notice that other than me? If a black man is acquitted and they think you should be guilty, the law gets changed quick, fast, in a hurry. They can murder you in the streets. Nobody is trying to make anybody testify. They didn't try to make them testify for Johannes Messerli. Nobody was doing that. Nobody.
No, they sure didn't.
And they're not trying to now.
They let him out a year ahead of time. He's probably serving on some police force someplace else.
Hell, he can go to work for Z. For that matter.
Right.
I mean, and it's not like he has a felony or anything.
Right.
So, You can go to work for Z. This is what we have as black people. Do you all understand that Bernard, Johannes Messerli was video recorded killing Oscar Grant?
Yes, there was no dispute. He pulled out his gun and shot the man in the back while he was already handcuffed to the ground, face down on the ground.
O.J. Simpson has been in jail now for, what, damn near a decade?
Right.
Johannes Messerli is walking the streets. O.J. Simpson has killed nobody, officially. And he's in jail. Johannes Messerli is walking the streets. And somebody is trying to tell me that we are not in the middle of a 21st century race war is the problem I'm having. George Zimmerman is walking the streets, but somebody is trying to tell me that we're not in the middle of a 21st century race war. Michael Dunn was convicted of, I don't know, objecting too loudly to music he didn't like. Apparently that's what he was convicted of.
Right, shooting at the other kids, but not killing the one that
he actually
killed.
He was convicted of attempted murder for the children he did kill,
right?
But was not convicted of murder for the one that he did. And they had some fat balloon-faced psycho with a head like a box of French fries. Yep, that was the face they put out there for you. Now,
right. There
were no black males on that jury. We can have white males on the jury. Black men are forbidden. Black men are forbidden from being on the jury. You cannot be here. You
right. Will
not be here. You will be, as a black man, it is nothing for black men to be judged and to never see a black face or to see a black male face from the time they walk into the courthouse to the time they're marched off to prison. It's
right. Nothing
to see it happen.
Right. Because like I've said, when I lived in Florida, I lived in Miami for a long time, and I would never get chosen. It seems like I'd always get brought up for jury duty, but they would never choose me. I guess I was too honest about my feelings about when they said answer those questionnaires honestly. So I would never get chosen for jury duty, especially when there was a black man on trial.
No, they just send it 2 years of perfunctory thing.
Right.
That's all. Oh, we got to send these out. Okay. No. Not you, Mr. Miller. You just sit this one out. No, we've got Becky over here. Becky and Brad will be showing up in your place. So don't worry. Better luck next time. Now, when it's time to get pulled over by the police, you will be first in line.
Right.
As a matter of fact, you will be the only one in line. But when it comes time to defend your humanity, no, don't worry, we'll take care of that for you. And isn't it amazing, whenever that comes up, your humanity is never in question. You don't have any.
Right, and it doesn't matter how young or how old you are. Like I said, you could be a child and they'll say you had no humanity. You were doing something wrong. Apparently going out to get some snacks for the game is a crime now for children to do. Or playing your music loud, so. But this is the game that we wanted to play as black adults. We wanted to leave our kids out in the cold like that. We're more concerned about what's going to happen on Scandal this coming week or whatever. I don't know if it's still on or not. But we're more concerned about stuff like that than actually protecting the people we say we love. So,
people ask this, and I was the first person to say this, and I'm saying it right now again. I do not want black unity. If black unity means that I have to unite with the bastard baby makers, to hell with black unity. If black unity means that I have to make peace with the people who see what the Supreme Court did and then say, well, they got to do me. Then to hell with black unity. I'm not interested in black unity if that's what black unity means. I don't want unity with those people. I'm not the least bit interested in unifying with individuals who see us being marched off to the gallows and laugh and snicker the whole way there. I'm not, or pray.
Right.
Can't really tell you which one I think is worse, to be totally honest with you. They're laughing, they're giggling, or praying. Not really sure which one I think the least of. That's what substitutes this meaningful action among black people there. To hell with black unity if unity means I have to unite with them. Not interested. I do not want black unity if unity means they have to unify with our trash. I do not want black unity if unity means that we have to identify and unify with the weak and the bowing down and the whores and the beggars. I'm not interested in black unity if that's what it means. I want black empowerment, not black unity.
I mean, and that's, people will think that's harsh, but for all the black people that talk about how we're in a war or in a struggle, your army is only as good as the guy that's standing next to you. And if you got someone in your army that's wishy-washy, or all he's concerned about is, you know, getting some draws or getting his new tattoos or getting his new Xbox, then he's not going to be any good to you at all. That's why I always tell young black men, you know, if you want to start a business or you have a business plan or something, don't be concerned with those guys that are out there chasing tail, because they're not going to be able to help you anyway. All they're going to do is drag you down.
Well, you know us. Black people, and particularly black men, have not been taught how to exercise any type of power or authority. And now it's time for us to be able to do so, and we're unable to do it. Now
right.
that we need to be able to exert some power and influence, we don't even know how. At the time we most need to be able to do it. Arguing with people over tattoos is not power. For your right to have tattoos. Nobody ever argues with me and says, man, you're wrong. We need more black empowerment. Nobody
right.
ever argues about that. That they argue about. I talk about how white folk are running the yard and Asians are right behind them and the Hispanics are right behind them. Nobody sits up here and jumps up and says, man, we really got it on the ball as black folk. Nobody's doing that. That's a conversation that bores black people.
Right. It's the losing team, the losing football team, that's all they can talk about is they got cool uniforms, I guess. I guess we don't even have that nowadays because we marked up our uniforms and put graffiti all over it, so... But that's all we can talk about. We can't actually talk about winning games.
Well, I mean, you know, if someone can explain to me how getting your tramp stamps in the small of your back so that people can have interesting literature when they bend you over, if someone can explain to me how that leads to power, wealth, and influence, I'll be all for it. So if someone wants to tell me how the tattoos on your arm lead to power, wealth, and influence because the weakest, most inconsequential and poorest people in America are the ones who have the bastard babies covered in tattoos and don't care about the economy. They can always talk about that. They can't be bothered about the Supreme Court. They can't be bothered about education. They can't be bothered to think about higher brain function. And I'm supposed to sit here and figure out some way that I'm going to unify with them. That's what they're telling us now. I'm supposed to sit here and figure out some way that we're supposed to identify with the people who've made it very clear that they are not in favor of anything that looks like us surviving. And that's why when I was putting the pieces together and explained to people here, I said, you know, Rand Paul, that wasn't a joke. When he sits here and tells that the Civil Rights Act is unconstitutional, that's not a joke. That's not a game. And
right.
it's annoying when you're just a politician in Kentucky, a minor state politician in Kentucky, But when this guy becomes a United States senator, that tells you the attitude that is behind that kind of thing. And if that's what he believes, you need to start looking at the people who call themselves his good pals and his good buddies, because the apple doesn't fall very far from the tree at all.
Right.
And if he's backing that, and then next thing you know, the Supreme Court basically strikes down the Voting Rights Act, when they come up and gut something like that, and your people, the people that this is most affecting, the people that this is most devastating, your people have nothing to say to that. But then out there in California, when they pass a ban on gay marriage, the homosexuals are out in arms. They're throwing rocks from the gay pride parade. They are firebombing your houses. They are targeting executives and movie actors and movie studios. That's what gay people do when you mess with them.
Right.
They want to know who's the politician.
As well.
They want to know who the politician. They want to know who is the executive. They want to know everybody. They want to name names. They want to. They put you on an enemies list.
Right. And
if
even though
you don't have to do anything against gays. All you have to do is just sign up in favor of gay marriage. You don't have to actually do anything to them. There's no police. You don't have. You can be against police brutality against gays. You can be for any hate crime legislation that protects gay people. All that goes out the window the moment that you say you're not in favor of gay marriage. You go on the enemies list. You
right.
are not allowed to say even one thing that slightly goes against them. Not
and
even slightly.
And they'll confront you even if you're a friend of theirs. You know, they've ambushed Obama and his wife at parties and whatnot just because they're not speaking on their issues at that moment or not speaking hard enough or loud enough. They want a constant reminder that you're for them. They don't just let you get off with just saying a couple of lines here and there. They want to know 24/7 that you're down for them. And I wish black people would get that in their mind.
Gays consistently vote for Democrats. Gays, of course, consistently vote for liberals. And who are on the Democrats and the liberals' asses more than anybody else?
Right.
Gays. They let you know that they can support you all day, but they expect you to toe the line all day.
Exactly.
And they are going to be on your ass in a heartbeat if you're not doing it. You will not be allowed the option of being sometimey and wishy-washy. They're not going to have it. They are just not going to have it. That's just it. Black people, what gays are showing you is that their votes come with demands. And they never let you forget that they voted for you. They never let you forget that they supported you. And if they understand that right now is a critical, pivotal moment for them, that they go from being minor players to being major power brokers. And what they're showing you is that we're not going to give it up.
Right. They want to get higher, not just stay in that spot. They want to get a higher position.
They're trying to get higher. Black folk, on the other hand, this is why I said before, can anybody actually tell me what the black agenda is? Can anybody even explain to me what is the black agenda? What is it? Because I don't see it. I haven't seen it.
No.
Nobody
and
can
part of the,
explain
part of
what
the problem
the black
is when we try to. Right, part of the problem is when we try to make a black agenda, then that's when you have the idiots that come in to try to disrupt it and say that this should be the black agenda. Or, you know, what is black? They'll come and debate you on the word black. Should we even be calling ourselves that? Just throwing in nonsense. And you can't even have a cohesive conversation for 2 seconds because, you know, there's too much idiots in the black community. Too much nonsense going on. And as I said, I don't see what's going to, how is it going to change unless a good chunk of black people just disappear or die off, which is sadly is going to happen because that's what this country is moving towards right now. And people are making it sound like it's something that I'm going to do to them or something like that. I was like, no, it's our apathy and our complacency that's going to make it happen. And if you're not one of the people that's thinking with their mind and having some intelligence and thinking you know, what they're going to do and what they're going to build for themselves and their children, you're just going to fall by the wayside and you're going to die off.
Black people do not want action. Black people want to debate you about inaction. When
right.
we start talking about action, they want to debate us about why it's okay to have inaction. But they do not actually want to discuss whether or not there should be action. That is what's off the table. That's what they're not interested in. They want to hear what can we do to remain inactive. These other folk are saying, man, we're on the march. They are a people with a purpose. And that's why they're getting things done. Defending your right to make a sex video does not constitute an agenda. Telling people why it's okay for you to be the biggest whore in the housing project does not constitute an agenda. That's not an agenda.
Right. Not at
Black
all.
Does not actually have an agenda, and the people who actually have one are saying, get out the way, niggers. Because we got an agenda. You notice that gays don't argue about whether or not you call them gay, homosexual, whatever you call them. Hell, you can call them dykes and everything else. They don't care about that.
Right.
Gays will not argue with you over what you call them. They will only argue with you. They will only argue with you over how much power you give them.
And no one comes into the conversation saying, "Well, we would be better off if we knew about gay history. If we only knew our gay history, we'd be fine." No one comes in arguing.
You
about
know, I should
like that.
I should do a video about that. I should do a video about this. Just compare the gay struggle to the black struggle. Or should I say the gay agenda to the black agenda? How many gay people do you have sitting up here talking about what gays were doing 2,500 years ago, 2,000
right.
years ago? Ancient Rome, the Caesars, the Greeks, the Spartans. How many gays do you see talking about that? How many gays do you see discussing that? How many gays do you see discussing that, oh, we don't need to worry about the future? How many gays do you see making their major platform to be how much welfare and Section 8 they can get? How many gays do you see going around arguing with people over their right to have tattoos and baby daddies and everything else? How many gays do you see arguing over that?
Right.
How
many
gays do you see arguing about what role a gay person gets on television?
Right, and biologically, they can't even have children, but they're out there fighting so they can get other people's children, so they can and impart their legacy upon those kids so they can keep it, continue it. And this is not a conspiracy
theory. Even if children are not gay themselves.
Right.
I mean, they really don't even care if the kids are gay.
Right.
If they can condition them to be gay, just so long as the kids are gay or pro-homosexuality.
Right, exactly.
As long as you're in favor of it, that's all they're really looking for. That's it. Gay people will not let a politician so much as speak against their goals. Black people do not just let politicians speak against their goals. We will elect him and then re-elect him. Ain't that right, Mr. Obama?
Yes, sir. That's exactly
black
what we
people,
do.
Do you know how much power we would have today as black people? I want everybody to think about this. Think about how much power as black people that we would have going into 2016 if we had voted against Obama in 2012. Think about that. If we had voted against him and he lost that election, think about how much power the black vote would have going into 2016. Hillary Clinton would have both lips wrapped around both ass cheeks of black society.
Right.
She would say, damn you gays, you are 4% of the population. These people are 13%.
Right. We would actually become that power block that Malcolm X talked about in his Ballot of the Bullets speech. But, like I said, we don't utilize our power that way.
If we showed them that we will only vote for you if you do things in our interest, man, look here. The Supreme Court never would have done what they did about the Voting Rights Act and never would have done what they just did about affirmative action. They never would have touched it. Or if they did, the President and Congress would have issued, the President would have issued an executive order and Congress would have immediately patched up the law to make sure that wasn't possible. If black people had shown Obama that we will make an example out of you, that we are going to do this to you, we are going to decapitate your presidency to make an example out of you, that if you go against the black agenda, there will be consequences to pay. You'll be a one-term president, and that's it. We don't care how many churches you went to. You're not going to pull this bull jive with us.
Right. Well, that would send a very powerful message.
Where would you be today?
That would send a very powerful message because that was showing every other politician for years to come that they couldn't pull the same BS on us after that if we're going to send Obama back packing, send him back home to Chicago or Hawaii, I guess, wherever that's where he's going afterwards. So.
Yes, this nonsense that Chicago is his hometown. Are you serious?
Right.
So people right. just make choose their own hometown now? Hey, I got here. How old are you? 30.
Right.
My hometown. Really, is that the way it works?
So, yeah, if I'm a black wife here, that's good enough, right?
I always said that power is wasted on black people. And the last two presidential elections demonstrated that undeniably. Power is wasted on us. We don't know what it is, we don't know how it works, and we don't know how to use it. And we don't care to find out. It's wasted.
Right.
It's wasted. And that's why the Supreme Court is taking all your rights from you. Because a person who does not appreciate what power is doesn't need it. Why do you need it? Let me ask you all a question right here that basically bookends what I started this broadcast talking about. It's a shame that they just removed affirmative action from American law. It's a shame that they just did. But in all reality, brothers and sisters, what were we doing with it?
Yeah, nothing.
What do we actually need it for? They've taken it. What were we actually using it for? We had affirmative action for 40 years. What were black people leveraging that power for? What did we do with it?
I guess coons like Clarence Thomas used it to get to the Supreme Court. That's about it. So he can go strike it down later on.
And does he understand how low those white men think of him now?
Right.
That is like a Jew voting in favor of Nazis. But you're not ingratiating yourself to Nazis. They're sitting here saying, man, when we get in power, you the first one we killing.
Right. That's what those coons don't realize. They're going to be the first ones to go.
You won't even fight for your own right to exist. You are the first one we're sending off to the chambers. You're first. Might be the last one that we arrest, but you're the first one that we're sending off to the chambers. You're first in line. That's what we did when we placed Thurgood Marshall. There's George H.W. Bush should not have been able to find a black person in America who is
his
plantation coon whipped. Shouldn't have been able to find him. You find me a Jewish person out there anywhere who has actually ascended in his field who would sit up here and back anti-Jewish legislation, you find him. Find him and let me see him. Because now you can show me something I didn't know.
You'll never see something like that. Not in this lifetime. I don't believe ever.
What good was affirmative action actually doing us? What did we actually use it for? How much power? And once they gave us power, I mean, we didn't even have wealth, but they gave us power. And once we had that power, we applied it how? We did what with it? We moved what barriers? What industries did we take over? Once they gave us affirmative action in the schools, why were we not running the schools?
Right. Or why did we not corner a market on certain industries at that point? I mean, if we're going to go there and get the education, we might as well corner some industries like the Asians do when they go to college.
If you got affirmative action to get hired by telecommunication companies, why are we not running every single one of them?
Right.
Well, they give you affirmative. I mean, did you imagine? I mean, take a look at what the Hispanics are doing out there. You lived in Atlanta that now has a Spanish mall.
Right.
Way. So much for your black power city, huh? You have a Spanish mall in Atlanta. There's just so much that's been going on, by the way, in Atlanta. Hotlanta, the ATL. Remember I said it 5 years, they running niggas out.
Right.
Well, you don't have a black mall, but you've got a Spanish one.
Well, I'm sure the Negroes think that Lenox Mall is their mall since there's nothing but gay black men in there. So that's one of the reasons I used to stay away from that mall, because of that. So I guess you got a black sissy's mall. That's about it.
This is what we fight for. They fight to own the mall. We fight to be the majority of the customers at the mall. And the Supreme
Right.
Court and white society and white supremacy has finally said, checkmate. We will march you back off to the plantations, and it will be a black president that sends you there. And you will not be able to blame white men for this at all, because after all, wasn't this a black president that it all happened under?
Right. And
the other side of it, when black people do try to say that this was white supremacy at work, they are going to vote. They're going to point at the White House and say, wait a minute. Isn't that your man? Didn't you vote for him? 99% of you voted for him not once, but twice. That was your man. That was
right.
Your man you put in the White House. But you're still blaming us?
A man sounds that we like, made no demands of at that.
Well, it sounds like you people just come up with excuses all the time. That even if we give you a president and you vote for him and you put him in office, you will vote for him overwhelmingly, and then you will come back later and say, wait, there's a big mistake, everything was wrong. That was still white supremacy at work. So what, do you know how foolish we're going to look after this presidency is over? What are we going to be able to argue? How do we argue for reparations after this president? How do we argue about discrimination after this president? Chris, how do we argue against white supremacy after this president? How do we do it?
I said we won't be able to.
White supremacy has made biggest gains that they've made since the Lyndon Johnson administration.
Right.
Under this man. How are we going to argue against it?
I said we won't be able to argue against it. Sad to say, we're better off under George W. Bush, Jr. You know, they like you said, they'll use him as a... They'll use Obama as a proxy, saying, well, we gave you a presidency, and what happened? You didn't do anything with it. Just like they gave us affirmative action, and we didn't do anything with it.
You
a
had
few
the
people
president.
Got through,
you had a black
it.
President. You had a black attorney general. Why are you blaming us? These people must be guilty. Even your own black president won't pardon or give them clemency or commute their sentences. Even he won't do it. They must be guilty. Must be. But you're blaming us? How are you going to blame white supremacy when Barack Obama has pardoned and commuted fewer people than any president in modern history? How are we going to take Mitt Romney or Jeb Bush, whoever gets elected, to the woodshed about that? when the president that we elected let fewer of our people go. But yet somehow we're going to hold these right-wingers and white males to a higher standard?
In fact, every time Obama did get in front of black people, he would talk down to us and say, you know, tell us everything we were doing wrong.
When you have black people who've made it clear that they will never say anything critical of this president, Reverend Al,
right.
Don't you know that you have disarmed us forever? You know, when Rush Limbaugh and friends did that about George W. Bush, Obama is in office today because we made the right wing look stupid. We made them look like lackeys. That George Bush is obviously wrong, but you won't call him out on it. We look like the same people in the room now.
Right. No, I agree. That's
but
the,
now we sound like them.
And I saw
we
that coming
so
back in 2007, 2008.
We were so desperate for a mascot that now we sound like the bad guys.
Right. So I saw that coming.
At least Limbaugh and friends got some more power, wealth, and influence out of it. What do we get? At least Limbaugh can show you that he renewed his contract bigger and better than ever. What did black people get out of it?
Yeah, you're right about that. Because I'm pretty sure Tom Joyner didn't leverage the same amount of money and everything that Rush Limbaugh did. I guess he got to go on a couple more cruises or whatever, but that's about it.
Power is wasted on black people. And that's why they're taking what little crumbs they did flick off the table at us, now taking those away. Your right to vote just been neutralized. Hell, if you're in Michigan, it's gone altogether.
Right.
Affirmative action, that's officially over now. Prop 209 in California. You couldn't keep Proposition 8. The courts made sure you couldn't keep that amendment. You can't have that one. Prop 209 sails. Prop 209 sails. They can stop fighting it now. They can just quit. The Republicans will be eager to get that thing to the Supreme Court. They've been asking around at the state level. But now that they know what's going to happen, that's what we've been waiting for. Let's get this thing to the Supreme Court. Let's hurry up and get it there. We don't need to worry about the state level anymore. Let's hurry up and get this thing to the Supreme Court. Let's hurry up and get it there. Once they make that an amendment, the ethnic makeup of the state has changed, but the imbalance in favor of white supremacy is, I will say now, it is as strong as it's ever been. Only this time it will be, we wanted to see that coalition of minorities. We wanted to see that racial coalition, Chris. Remember, you and I have been talking about that for years. They've been promising
right,
us that we as black folk, we don't have to get our act together. We will let the Asians and Hispanics be competent for us. Well, guess what?
Black
that
and brown coalition.
Coalition showed up. It's finally here. And guess what? Black folk ain't a part of this coalition. The only racial coalition that's getting a damn thing done is the coalition of the people who actually have power, wealth, and influence now. The Asians, the Hispanics, and the white people. The whites have formed a racial coalition with the Asians and the Hispanics. They're not interested in a coalition with us. We bring nothing to the table. We bring nothing to the table.
I remember it was one of your very first broadcasts. Episode 4 or 5, you talked about the black and brown coalition and how that actually does not exist.
5 years ago we said that. Coming out of the gate 5 years ago. And who's concerned? You saw
if
people arguing.
You weren't in denial back then, saying that, you know, they got a Spanish girlfriend and a Latino boyfriend, so everything was all good. We got the Black and Brown Coalition. They're part of us.
Yeah, I've got her in my bed. Can't you see we got this coalition rocking? Can't you see this coalition is, I mean, boy, this is a great coalition we got. And now they're seeing that she got out of bed with you and went and voted for the other guys.
Right.
Hell
and a good thing to see is that where would she fall on the George Zimmerman thing, since he seemed to have so many Hispanics supporting him. Either that or they were very quiet during that whole thing.
Well, that doesn't mean anything to us. That doesn't mean anything to us either. That doesn't hold our attention, because our attention can't be held for any real length of time. The only thing that Black folk get excited about is when they want to pass more weed legislation. And don't you see how they finagled the laws on that weed thing, too? They've made it legal only to certain parameters.
Right.
So we can choose whether we get you or whether we don't. Don't you know by legalizing it halfway, they just opened the door to, okay, we can let the white kids off for even weed now.
No, that's exactly why they did it. That was just for them. That had nothing to do with us. They're still going to lock us up for that. And most of it, we weren't even thinking. I mean, if those idiot drug dealers out there, they were smart, they would have started a legitimate business a long time ago. So they, you know, they're just, they want to continue selling their little weed hustle, having their little weed hustle, and that's about it. They won't know anything about opening up an actual store.
Economics. Can we explain economics in three words? I can. I can sum up economics in three words: power, wealth, and influence. That's economics. I can explain it to you in three simple words. Can we explain nigganomics? Yes. Can you reduce it to just three words? Yes, I can, which explains what you just said about why drug dealers didn't use their money to create a legitimate business 20-plus years after Ice Cube put out his song, Us. And all you dope dealers, you're as bad as the police because you kill us.
Right.
You got rich when you started slanging dope. Ain't built us a supermarket so we can spend our money with the blacks. Too busy buying gold and Cadillacs. Almost 30 years later, and he might as well have written the song yesterday.
At least the Jewish gangsters and the Italian gangsters flipped their money.
A long time ago.
Right.
Now, can I sum up nigganomics in three words? Yes, I can. Money, hoes, and clothes. Economics is about power, wealth, and influence. Nigganomics is about money, hoes, and clothes.
And they can't even keep all three of those at the same time. Usually one is going to be lacking in some department.
And even if you can, so what? The problem is, what do you own, what do you control, and what are you passing down? I neither own nor control, certainly can't pass down this female's draws. I can't do that. Furthermore, why would you want to? But you don't own it, you can't control it, and you can't pass it down. Money, hoes, and clothes. Can we pass, own, control, or pass down the hoes? No. Do we own, control, or pass down the clothes? Well, I suppose you can, but not for any type of profit. And
no.
What about money? Do you own it? Do you control it? Can you pass it down? And where drug dealers are concerned, no. No to all three. Because that money is only yours unless white supremacy catches you and comes and takes it.
Right.
So, no, the answer to that is no. We focus on the three things. Cannot
it's going to cycle out of the community anyway. So it's not like it's going to stay in black hands for that long anyway.
Well, that's what happens when you don't have an agenda. Money is worthless and useless in the hands of someone who does not have an agenda. And that's why there's no danger in giving it to him. All he can really do is give it back. He has no agenda. With the Asians, they got an agenda. That's why when you give them money, they convert it into power. The Latinos, they have an agenda. That's why when you give them money, they convert it into power. White folk, they have an agenda. That's why when they get it, they can convert it into power. Black people have no agenda. The Arabs and the Indians and the Pakistanis, they have an agenda. They can convert money into power. Black people have no agenda. That's why we can't convert our money, our votes, our education, our media presence, even our coonin and buffoonin. Everybody else can convert all of that into power except us. We can't convert anything that we have in power. Well, we could do it if we were serious, but we're not, so we can't.
Right. Yeah, I caught your broadcast about the shower ride curtains and monetizing and capitalizing on that. Like you said, we can't even get stuff like that. We missed opportunities like that. So even when we put ourselves out there, we're not even thinking about what can we get. What else can we get out of it other than just whoring ourselves out there and getting some attention?
Nope. She did that, and all she was concerned about was attention whoring, and that was it. Her agenda was getting attention, and she got it.
Right.
The white men are going to walk off with the money. She's going to walk off with the attention. I wouldn't be surprised if that dumb, ridiculous idiot goes and does another one, by the way. Remember, I said that before. I wouldn't be surprised if she tries to correct her mistake this time. It's a little late, babe.
No, it's too late for that. I'm still trying to figure out where people get these figures of millions of dollars from. I doubt she got paid that much. I doubt it's even six figures, if that.
Well, they're saying that, you know, pre-orders on this thing have, like, been 400,000 pre-orders. And if you figure it's $20 a pop.
But how much is she getting of that, and how much is Vivid getting for that?
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, there's
right.
No way, even out of that 400,000 pre-orders, even at $20 a pop, that's only $8 million.
Right.
There's no way that Vivid's breaking you off five of that eight.
No, hell no.
That's not happening. So what I'm saying is that people can sit up here. That number didn't start moving until the first number came out. All of a sudden, first they said 100,000, then it went up to 225,000. Then it skyrocketed to 5 million plus. And I'm like, you know, people are just talking out of their pie holes at this point. But this is what we do as black people. We drive the car looking out the rearview mirror. Money, attention is as good as money to us. And that's why other people are saying, well, hell, you ain't doing nothing with the power, wealth, and influence. I might as well. It's not
right.
Like you're doing anything with it. You're not doing a damn thing with it. Why don't I just take that from you? And that's what they're doing. As I explained to you all before, striking down an affirmative action helps Asians more than anyone else. Dr. Claude Anderson is out there right now saying to himself, preaching to these people didn't do no good. The people with the most, at the top of the economic ladder, the people with the most economic power in the United States today are
Asians. Right.
And isn't that amazing that the people who affirmative action benefits the most are Asians? So guess who is against affirmative action now? They were for it 10 years ago. They're against it today. Asians. Chris, do you know that, and I mean this seriously, black people are in favor of affirmative action, but what makes it stupid is because it's wasted on us, because black people do not actually know why they're in favor of affirmative action.
Right.
You should only be in favor of something if it's in your best interest. 10 years ago, affirmative action was in Asians' best interest. What do Asians support? Affirmative action. Today, affirmative action is against Asians' best interest. What are Asians in favor of today? Striking down affirmative action. supporting affirmative action today, and I tell you that we will do just like the politicians. Even in the places where we, if we ever became numerical majorities and affirmative action was against us, we will still be in favor of affirmative action, even if affirmative action begins to primarily favor white people. Even if affirmative action begins to not favor us, black people will still support it, even if it favors white people and does not favor us. Why? Because we've always done it.
Right. Yeah, we don't understand that, you know, you use a certain tool or a certain apparatus for as long as it's useful to you, as for as long as that it can actually help you and benefit you. But once you don't need it anymore, you throw it away and go on to something else. Or once you bolstered your position, you can move on to a next level and use something else to help you get to the next level after that. So it's not always just about supporting the same. That's why black people could support the Democratic Party without question, because that's just what we've been doing. That's sad to say. That's also why black people go to church and worship Jesus, because that's what grandma did. That's what mama did. So I'm going to do it too. There's never any real thought behind it. It's just that's what everyone's been doing, so let's just keep on doing it. And then we wonder why things are not working. You know, if it didn't work for them, it's not going to work for us.
Power is wasted on black people. We love reading our Bibles. Of course, we're hypocrites about that, too. Because we want to cherry-pick the scriptures we want to follow. That fornication thing doesn't work out for baby mamas. Okay, we'll just stop mentioning fornication altogether.
And right. Remember the story. We don't like the word bastard, even though it comes from the Bible.
Yeah. We don't like the term. We don't like the terms. We just get rid of them or ignore them.
Right.
And we forget the story of the parable of the talents.
Right.
One who refused to use his talents, who refused to use his money for profit, when the king came back, he said, "And from this lazy son of a gun, take what he's got. You didn't use it. Those who do not use what they have will have even that taken from them." For a little while, we actually had one social accomplishment that worked in our favor. We refused to use it. We were concerned about bedding hoes, and we thought affirmative action meant getting in the bed with non-black people. That's what we thought.
Right, right.
We thought that's what they were saying. Oh, you'll let us get in the bed with you? Cool. Now we're finding out that, no, that wasn't really what they had in mind, dummy. It's not? No, it's not. And since we didn't use it, it was wasted. Now it's wasted. And now you're going to have it taken.
Well, a lot of these idiots think that they'll say, "Well, I didn't need affirmative action anyway, because my, you know, good white buddy is going to look out for me and help me get a job or whatever." And you're going to find out that boys' club doesn't work for you. It works for people that look like them, and works for their friends or people they consider their friends. They don't really consider you their friend. They're using you for whatever talent you might have, and that's going to become inconsequential at a certain point anyway. So once they accomplish their goal, like we just talked about the tools, they're just going to cast you aside. And you're going to be out there looking for a job just like everybody else.
We have no permanent friends. We have no permanent enemies. We have no permanent laws. Only permanent interests. Power is wasted on us, and that's why we don't have it now. And that's the bottom line. I'll let you have the last word, brother.
Now, the last word, as always, is Black First.
Black First, brother. Thank you very much for joining us. Brothers and sisters, dying times here. For those of you who are not aware, I'm looking at having an announcement about 7 a.m. It'll be coming up here soon. Should be happening over this weekend. So keep your eyes and ears open for that. Because as you've seen, we're coming up on the end game now. We're coming up on an end game. And in this game, this is the game of survival. The documentary, of course, is 7 a.m. For those of you who haven't seen it or heard about it, you can go to our website, 7ammovie.com. This is the first documentary in history that focuses specifically and only on black people's socioeconomic position. We talk about the money. We talk about why we are the poorest people in America and the world. And we actually go in depth to examine why this has led to every other problem that we have. There's an all-star lineup that's going to be participating in the documentary. I mean, I already filmed it. We're in the final stage of editing it now and then preparing for release. And you will have the opportunity to get involved, to get this project out there, and to let people know about it, because that's going to be the most important thing. The whole world heard about Mimi. Isn't it time that we let the whole world know about something intelligent for a change? Isn't it time? In the documentary, we're going to be speaking to, of course, the Prince of Pan-Africanism, Umar Johnson, has a whole lot to say. We're going to be talking to Shalimar Blakely, the Executive Director of the Philadelphia, New Jersey, Delaware African-American Chamber of Commerce. We're going to be speaking to Morris Levin of the Philadelphia Stars Memorial in Philadelphia with the Negro Leagues. We're going to be speaking to Brett Pulley, the author of The Billion Dollar Bet, about the rise of BET. We're going to be talking to Alayla Bundles, the great-granddaughter of Madam C.J. Walker. We're going to be talking to Don Peebles of the Peebles Corporation, a man who's worth billions of dollars, has billions of dollars of assets under his control. If you're going to be speaking about black economics, let's hear it directly from the top. And, of course, how would we be able to speak about black economics if we are not talking to the godfather of black socioeconomics? Dr. Claude Anderson himself will be involved. This is the most important documentary of all time, so I want you to get involved. And we're offering you the opportunity to get involved with helping us get the word out directly about the most important documentary of all time, because this is the only documentary that will determine if a people continue surviving or not. We as black people have made entirely too many mistakes, and those mistakes are now officially catching up with us. Once again, that website is 7ammovie.com. You can go there and check it out for yourself, 7ammovie.com. Brothers and sisters, prophets don't need to speak anymore. You've been warned. You've been told. Nobody's telling you anything else. It's the haves and have-nots now. It's the living and the dead. And that's it. Everybody else, you're not going to even be a footnote. You're just not going to be. Dying times here. I said it years ago, and it's now coming to pass. They are voting us off the island. The island of survival. Black people have played and cooned and buffooned, and now they are voting us off island. And this concludes tonight's broadcast of the BlackChannel.net radio. I am your host, your brother, your humble servant, the Black Authority. We will see you here tonight. Tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Central Time, same black time, same black channel. Join us. And until next time, brothers and sisters from around the world, remember, black is the future, and the future, as always, uncompromising.